Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The eyes to the right, 202. The nose to the left, 432. So the nose have it, the nose have it. Unlock!
Theresa May's plan for Brexit is dead. On Tuesday night, the British Parliament voted, and despite May's attempts to convince lawmakers that this was the best possible deal, the vote was not in her favor. This vote leaves Britain with no plan after 2.5 years of negotiation and a rapidly approaching March deadline. After the defeat, May addressed Parliament to try and figure out a path forward.
It is clear that the House does not support this deal, but tonight's vote tells us nothing about what it does support. Nothing about how. Nothing about how or even if it intends to honour the decision the British people took in a referendum Parliament decided to hold.
And it's not just Theresa May who's distressed by this lack of a plan. The Republic of Ireland has been counting on a guaranteed open border with Northern Ireland as part of the Brexit negotiations. To explore the possible consequences of a Brexit for Ireland, I'm joined by Mark Hennessy, the news editor for the Irish Times. Thanks for joining us, Mark.
Hello.
So before we get into how Brexit will impact Ireland, walk us through this sort of spectacular vote down of the Prime Minister May's deal.
Well, this was a vote that she should have had before Christmas, but postponed because she knew then that she was going to lose. Now, back then, I don't think she thought she was going to lose by 230 votes, which is what happened last night. So the situation, from her point of view, actually managed to get worse over the Christmas and holiday period. Her problem now is that she has 3 parliamentary days to come up with a solution. She has to be back before them next Monday to tell them where they go next. The difficulty with the British political system at the moment is that it agrees on nothing. A majority of the British people voted in June 2016 to leave. A majority of members of the House of Commons, however, are of a different opinion, and the majority there would certainly favour Britain staying in the European Union or keeping as close a tie to it as possible. The clock is running on the end of March, and unless they do something, they automatically fall out of the European Union club at the end of March, and they can't agree on anything that would prevent that at the moment or that would grant them more time.
One of the major sticking points in the Brexit negotiations, Mark, of course, as you know, is the Irish backstop. Can you give us a sense of what that is and why it's so contentious?
Well, our concern, the Irish concern, and when I say our, this is, we may not agree on much in Ireland, but we tend to agree on this bit, which is that there is no way people are going to tolerate a restoration of border controls between the South, known as the Republic, and Northern Ireland, the British-controlled part of Northern Ireland. Now, if the British leave, and if they leave the way that they want to leave, with a freedom to do trade deals with Donald Trump and with the Chinese and God knows who else, then that's going to mean border controls of some kind. We can argue what they might look like, but there have to be some controls. You can't have a situation where a chlorinated chicken from the United States ends up being sold in Britain and then comes across into the Irish Republic because, you know, European Union food standards are different and we don't allow, for instance, just to give that example, certain elements of American produce to be sold in Europe. And there are good reasons for that from the point of view of the European Union. So there's a million and one examples why there would have to be border controls. If there are border controls, there will have to be security, because the nature of the Irish argument over centuries, and many of your listeners will understand, where nationalists in Northern Ireland and the IRA, there was a campaign, there was violence, there was the Good Friday Agreement 20 years ago, which brought an end to 30 years of really bitter conflict and 3,000 deaths. And the genius of the Good Friday Agreement was that it allowed people to live in Northern Ireland and basically take whatever identity they felt most comfortable with. You could ignore, to a degree, the bits of the state you were living in that you didn't like. The difficulty with Brexit is that it brings all those things back into clear focus. If one is a nationalist, one is faced in Northern Ireland, one is faced with the prospect of driving south to Dublin, it's only 100 miles, and having to pass through some form of border and feeling that your state and your island is yet again divided. Now, the difficulty with that is that the Brexit debate 2.5 years ago in Britain was all about borders. The majority of people voted for Brexit in the belief that too many people were coming into their country and they didn't like it, that they didn't have control over their own political system, and they wanted to be ourselves alone. And that's all about borders. So they're trying to argue on one hand that the border on Northern Ireland can be absolutely open, and yet the border at the other side, heading into the ferry ports to Dover and elsewhere, would be the kind of borders that they say that they said 2.5 years ago were necessary. So the argument is contradictory. Tensions have been unfortunately created, which people could well have done without. The British public opinion is more divided than I've ever seen.
Do you expect to see a unified Ireland if these Brexit negotiations ultimately break down for good and Northern Ireland essentially becomes part of that hard break from the EU?
Well, everything is possible at the moment. I would make the point to you that contrary to what many Irish Americans might think, the vast majority or a majority of people living in the Republic have no desire for a united Ireland. The island of Ireland is partitioned mentally just as much as it's partitioned politically. There is not a great willingness on the part of people living in the south of Ireland to join what they think is frequently a pretty dysfunctional place. So there is no great enthusiasm. Having said that, if nationalists in Northern Ireland become unhappy in a post-Brexit United Kingdom where they are cut off from the European Union, then there is very little doubt but that sentiment amongst nationalists in Northern Ireland is going to become more strongly in favour of a united Ireland. And that would be a change in some way, because there was a lot of people in the nationalist community who were happy to have a green Irish passport, who were happy to travel south to Dublin and visit and all the rest of it, but who weren't absolutely arguing we must be part of a united Ireland now, tomorrow or next year or even 10 years down the road. They were content with the post-Good Friday settlement. They had the best of all worlds in some ways. Now that these identity questions have been brought back front and centre again, nationalist opinion is beginning to harden in the north, is beginning to harden yet again in favour of united Ireland.
Mark Hennessy is the news editor for the Irish Times. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.